chapter 2. The very familiar story that we all know. Maybe someone will say, why do we have a Christmas story this time? It's not about the Christmas that I'm going to preach about. It's about what's the sender of that passage. So Matthew chapter 2, NIV must be 966, I think. Page 966. Thank you. I'll start to read if you are there. Not yet. I'll wait for you there. I'm a patient person. Are we there yet? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thank you. That's the word of the Lord. My theme this morning is actually based on that story. And I themed it, thank you. That's my theme. Worship is in God's heart. Nothing more, nothing less. Someone could have wondered, why am I bringing a Christmas story at this moment? When we read that story, you heard, when they found the baby, they celebrated and worshipped. So this is my center of my sermon today. It's about worship. So today, as we are looking at worship, what is it to do with our lives? I just actually put four subheadings on there that I want to show you what our worship stands for. What is the purpose of our worship? Worship is not for our entertainment. What is acceptable and unacceptable worship? Worship God in truth and spirit. That is very important. I'll leave those subheadings on there as I go along. In my preparation, I thought some of the facts surrounding worship. I want also you to know that worship needs sacrifice. It's not an easy thing. Some of us, when we are sleeping, we try to struggle to get up in the morning to come to church. You try to still pull that duvet over your head because it's a struggle. To wake up to come and worship God, that's a great sacrifice. It's not easy to get up in the morning. So as these Magi, when they traveled, understand it was a big entourage that was coming to find out where the baby Jesus was born. Because they prepared for this journey. Understand it was about 900 and something miles. And imagine, these were highly respected people, the Magi. They were not just ordinary people. So In other words, they could have had some bodyguards coming with them. Imagine they traveled on camels as well. These camels need to be looked after. So they had workers to look after them. Ah, poor Herod, when he saw this group of people in front of him, he thought, my kingdom is gone. So he was disturbed. Surely even it was you, people coming to your house with such a group of people, you'll be disturbed. Just to let you know something also, how important these magi were, during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, you remember Daniel? He was actually given an assignment to look after the wise men during those days. But there's another point that I want you to pick up in the book of Matthew as well. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, where it says, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. Here, the wise men prepared to go and seek the Lord. Are you prepared to seek the Lord in your life? Or you just think, well, I've received Lord Jesus. That's it. Done and dusted. No, there's still some seeking inside there. Once you have received the Lord Jesus, you need to grow in the Lord Jesus. This is the purpose of worship. Once you have received the Lord Jesus, grow in Him. What are you doing after receiving the Lord Jesus? Are you sitting on your hands and say, well, it's done and dusted. I'm waiting for Him to return, then we'll go home. He wants you to do other things as well, not to just relax. Briefly, the life of Herod. Herod was a king of the Jews, imposed by the Romans. You remember the general Pompey captured Jerusalem and the Palestine lands around them, so it was under Roman rule. So he was king of the Jews. He was a horrible man too. The story goes on to say between 37 to 4 BC when he was in power, I'm told, or I read, this man killed his wife called Marian I and two of his sons because he was threatened. He thought he was threatened. They might actually disturb his throne. So this is how cruel this man was. But the Magi disregarded that because there were people who were seeking the Lord. So they sacrificing in seeking the Lord. They thought even if we die, we don't care. We want to find the Lord. So this is how we should also be. Our hearts must be centered on finding the Lord, disregarding what's around us. Even if we are threatened by death, we will go and seek the Lord because worship is at God's heart. The story of Moses in the Bible in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. We are told about this, who is going to come amongst the Jewish family, who is going to be king of the Jews. But there is one thing that is very important about sacrificing, about this coming king. God is with us. He doesn't leave us. And God always provides a way out ahead of the problem. You get me? God always provides a way out ahead of the problem. If you see yourself in a problem, there's a way out God has already created because God knows it all anyway. I want to give you an example of the flood, right? People saw, oh, poor Noah, he was building in the middle of the country where there was no water. Some were even mocking him when he was building that ark. Partitioning, the pigeons would be here, guinea fowls here, lions in here, and they laughed at him. The flood was going to come. God has already provided a way out ahead of the problem. When the flood came, the way out was already there. But others ignored Noah. If you ignore the worship of God, trouble is coming. So when you get trouble, don't blame anyone. Did you know hell is not created for us? We are created for heaven, you and me. We are heaven candidates. But because of our disobedience, the Lord will let you go to hell because you are disobedient. But you are created for heaven. God always provides a way out ahead of the problem. God has created heaven, which is the new Jerusalem, ahead of you, before hell. But because people are hard-hearted, they think of personal gains instead of listening to God. So, That leads us to, what is the purpose of our worship? Isaiah says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. The purpose of the Magi coming was to witness to the Jewish family, the true king has been born. Not the king of the Jews. The king of the entire universe has been born. And God sends the Gentiles to come and witness to the Jews. How great is that? Worship is at God's heart. Now, each individual this morning, what is that you call worship in your heart? Is worship coming together here in the morning, singing praises, praying together? Is it coming from deep down your heart? What is the purpose of your worship? You are coming here every morning, every Sunday, to glorify God. We glorify God together. We sing for God together. Yes, we can have Mike and Rose here playing for us. It's not a showcase. No, they are doing it for Him. If they sing or play out of tune, it's not nothing to do with us. The out of tune is for Him. Let them carry on with that out of tune. It's for Him. Because worship is at God's heart. Also, coming here on the Lord's Supper is not for the purpose of ticking boxes. It's part of worship. Because Jesus Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. This is the purpose of our worship. Because we are supposed to do that. And also, remember, we are not just coming here to worship for the sake of we've got Langdon Baptist Church in Langdon Hills. This is a promise of God. God sent Moses into Egypt. Go and bring my children out of Egypt to come and worship me at this mountain. We are worshiping God at this mountain because God has assigned the worship in this church. Whether there are two people here or three, God has assigned it. It's a worship that He has already put in record. But above all, we also want to need and search, what does God say about our worship? Ephesians 5 verse 10 say, find out what pleases God. What is that pleases God? Are you obeying the rules that God has set? Are you obeying and listening to what Jesus say? Do this in remembrance of me. Or you do this to please your friends and family members. What is that makes God smile? I was reading this book by Rick Warren, The Purpose Driven Life. I will read some few headlines that he said. And he said, God smiles when we obey wholeheartedly. Point number one. There's point number two. God smiles when we praise and thank Him continually. He goes on to say the last one, if I can find it. Where is it? God smiles when we use our abilities. Thank you, Mike and Rose. God smiles when you are doing it for His glory. This is why we are here. Worship is not for entertainment, ladies and gentlemen. It's for God's glory. David writes in Psalms 98, he writes to say, mountains sing for the joy of God, rivers clap, and when we sing during our worship, we are not singing for our own entertainment. We are entertaining Him. So the like of us, like myself, I like singing, but I'm a poor singer. I always sing out of tune. Oh, great. So I'll carry on singing then. So, I'm just reminding you that you are not doing it for your glory or for this church. It's for Him. Worship is not an entertainment purpose. It's for His glory. So, when we do these things, let all remember that it's not for us. As we come together, we must have this knowledge that we are doing this for His glory. I was looking through the window of the men's the other day. I saw birds coming over, because always what I do, I feed them. Someone said, you'll be in trouble with the neighbors. I said, well, let me be in trouble. I'm obeying what God told me. He said, these, they've got no, they don't collect any harvest, but they are fed anyway. So as they were feeding, I was reminded of this Psalm 98. They are worshiping God as they feed. Because the birds were created, they don't talk, they don't, I don't know what about thinking. But God has given them an assignment to do. They do it for the glory of God. So they are worshipping. The other day I was also looking at ants collecting grass into their nest. So I said, these little ants are worshipping. So what do I do myself in my own life as a sign of worshipping? As long as you remember that your worshipping is not an entertainment, you are doing it for His glory. Every creature that God has created, when it fulfills its purpose, God rejoices. So even that ant, when it's collecting the grass, even the pigeons, even the sparrow, when they're eating in your backyard, they are fulfilling God's purpose. That brings glory to Him. C.S. Lewis once said, each individual's responsibility is to worship God, for that worshiping brings joy to the heart of God. Our worshiping brings joy to God when we are doing the following things. We bring glory to God when we worship Him. As we worship, in His heart, God is pleased. Every person must consider his or her own worship. What is it for? We should acknowledge that worship is not entertainment. Our worship should be accepted by God. Worship is in truth and spirit. To finish on that story, I'm reminded of the young lady who met Jesus in the book of John. And they were having a conversation about worshiping God in truth and spirit. And she didn't even know who she was arguing with. She was arguing with the Son of God. And she told, Jesus told him that God looks for people who are worshiping in truth and spirit. Irrespective of the place where you are worshiping, irrespective of the kind of worshiping you are doing, as long as it is in truth and spirit, that pleases God. Is your worship in truth and spirit? Does your worship bring glory to God? Are you becoming like Jesus in your worship? This morning, I want to leave this with you. Let your worship bring glory by loving others. Bring glory by becoming like Christ. Bring glory by serving others with our gifts. Bring glory by telling others about God. If the answer is a positive one, for me, that is my desire to worship Him. I don't know what is your desire. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank You, for You are a merciful God. You are a loving God. Every day is a process. We are learning a new thing on each day. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will keep on teaching us, giving us wisdom. The wise men, when they traveled all those miles, they had one thing in their mind: to find the newborn King of the universe and worship Him. So when we find Christ, teach us to worship Him too. Father, we hope our services in Your kingdom on earth will always be about worshiping You. Thank You, Heavenly Father. In Your Son's name we've prayed. Amen.